have your Bibles this morning, we'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of John. I would like to read from John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I do encourage you to look at God's Word as I try to read. The Word of God means more. If you just look at the Word of God, you get one avenue of intake into your mind. But when you listen to and look at the Word of God, I think it makes a greater impression on our minds. So I would ask all of you to please follow in God's Word. I would like to read from John chapter 20, beginning with verse 11, and read through verse 20. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. The Word of God says, before we begin to read, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke this world into existence, and the one who shall bring it to a close. Lord, we're thankful that Thou art not only our God, but that Thou art our Father. We thank You for that beautiful word, Father, that we can pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. We pray that Thy kingdom would come this day. Thou would manifest Thyself to us, that we might be able to dwell in the kingdom of heaven this day, that we might be able to feel the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that the kingdom of God would be within our hearts and in our souls, that we'd be able to know that You are with us and that You would manifest Yourself to us in a special way. We thank You, Lord, for the felt presence of Thy Spirit already today. We thank You for the singing of songs. Thank You for those that have sung in the Spirit and sung with understanding, those that have rejoiced in the singing. And we pray that You would help us all, that we would now be able to rejoice in hearing and understanding Thy Holy Word. And we pray that as we go forth, that Thy Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Lord, we thank You for every person that's here today and each family that's represented. We beg Thy blessings upon each individual and all of their loved ones. We pray that You would help us this day, that we would feel and know and say, it's good to have been in the house of the Lord. Bless us with Your Spirit. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come now and ask You to fill us all with Your Holy Spirit. Loose my tongue, give me a ready turn of thought. Bless me to preach Thy Word, and bless us all to hear, understand, believe, and obey. Again, bless all those who are sick and afflicted. Bless those who are with child. Bless those that have special burdens and problems. Be with all of Thy people, especially those in this building and those that are on our prayer list. We pray in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from John chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. The Word of God says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary? She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that she had spoken these things, that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I want us to think about the very last expression that the Word of God gives us here in this passage of Scripture. Of course, this is talking about the day that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and how the women went to the tomb and the angels appeared to them, and they were told, Don't touch me. Jesus said, Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, which is in heaven. But then he showed them, as he went to the disciples, and he showed them his hands and his side. And when they saw him, the Word of God says, then were the disciples glad when they saw him. I don't think anybody here can comprehend how glad they were. They had seen Jesus crucified. They knew that Jesus was dead. They had seen Jesus Christ buried in the tomb. They knew that there was no way that they would ever see him again. In their understanding, as far as they knew, that was the last they would ever see of Jesus. In spite of all he had taught them, in spite of all that they had seen, they did not understand that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. And so when he was raised from the dead, and they saw him, the Word of God says, then were the disciples glad when they saw him. And when they really knew this is the Christ, this is Jesus, and he's no longer dead. You know, when I see somebody that's been real sick, have you ever been around somebody and seen somebody that's been sick for a long time, and you see them again, and you know how glad you are when you see them again? Like Sister Valerie coming in this morning. It made us rejoice that she was able to be back in the house of the Lord. Well, we knew she wasn't dead, but I just want you to imagine if you had been disciples of Jesus and you knew he was dead and he came walking into this room today and you saw in his hands the imprints of those nails and in the side of the sword. And when they saw Jesus and they knew it was Jesus, then were the disciples glad when they saw him. And I just want us to think about the fact that in all of our lives, we ought to be a glad people. In fact, I'm going to say, and I believe this with all of my heart, I believe the Scripture bears this out, that when we see the Lord, we also will be glad. I believe that every time I see the Lord, I'm glad. Not just the first time I see Him. You know, the songwriter that says, Oh, for a closer walk with God, he said, Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Do you remember when you first began to see and understand that Jesus is the Christ? Now, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never seen Jesus, you don't know how glad these men were. And you don't know how glad many other people are. But the people of God that can see Jesus today, they're a glad people. They're a happy people. They're a rejoicing people because just like these men, when they saw Jesus, they were glad. People in all ages of the world, Old Testament and New Testament, every time people have been walking with the Lord and they have seen the Lord, there's one common characteristic. They've all been what? Every one of them has been glad. You remember what Peter said after he writes about this? He said, we all hope was lost. After Jesus was crucified, after Jesus was dead, he says, all hope was lost. And then he records when he writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and he says that God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know there was a lively hope in these disciples right now? When they saw Jesus, there was a lively hope that had been lost. They now knew that He was the Messiah. They knew He was the Christ. They knew He was not dead. And they were glad when they saw Him. I want to just remind you again that in the Old Testament, the Word of God talks a lot about saints of God who declared they were glad when they saw the Lord. David in the Old Testament, David makes this statement. I want you to follow this. In Psalm 121, verse 1, David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, now that doesn't say he saw the Lord there, does it? All he says is, all David says is, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, when you come on and read in Psalm 27, you find that David says, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold what? What is it he wants to behold? To behold the beauty of the Lord. What did he see in the house of the Lord? Why was he glad when they said unto him, let's go in the house of the Lord? He didn't actually have to even get there. He was glad just with the thought of getting into the house of the Lord, because what did he know that he would see and feel in the house of the Lord? He knew he would see the Lord. He said, that's the one thing I desire. That's more important than anything else. That's more important than any other place to be is in the house of the Lord. Why? Because I want to see. What do you want to see when you come to the house of the Lord? Now, there are some people that all they want to see is pretty dresses and they want to see people. But listen, brethren, if you've got the right spirit, if you have the right heart, if you have the right mind in you, you're going to want to see something other than all of that. You want to see Jesus. The songwriter says this. He says, beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. In other words, I want to hear the Word of God. I want you to know that it's in hearing the Word of God, it's in hearing the written Word, it's in hearing the preached Word that we see Jesus. The Old Testament says that the voice of the Lord crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. In other words, whenever the Word of God is preached, do you know what you ought to see every time it doesn't matter what part of the Word of God is preached. Do you know what you ought to see every time you hear the Word of God preached? You ought to see Jesus. You might say, well, I don't see Jesus. Well, there's something wrong with your vision if you don't see Jesus, because the Word of God says that Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Did you know you can preach anything in God's Word, and a man of wisdom, a man of spiritual understanding, you know what he's going to see? He's going to see Jesus. And you know how he's going to feel when he sees Jesus? The word, the text in John 20:20, you get that? 20:20? Vision, good vision. John, and I don't believe that's accidental that it turned out like that. John chapter 20 and verse 20 says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And when you have 20/20 spiritual vision, you're going to see the Lord. And when you come to the house of God, you're going to see the Lord. And when you go to the people of God, did you know you can go to the nursing home and see the Lord at the nursing home? Did you know the Lord's at the nursing home? Did you know you can go see any of these saints down here? You go to the nursing home and visit them. You know who you'll be able to see there? The Lord. You know why? Because Jesus said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Can you see Jesus when you go to the nursing home? Can you see Jesus when you go to the hospital? Can you see Jesus in these little children? Have you ever seen Jesus in the little children? Have you ever seen Jesus shining in the faces of the little children? Have you ever seen a baby and seen Jesus whenever you saw a little baby? See, that little Hunter and the different little Michael and the different ones that are here, if you can't see Jesus, and I was talking to someone this past week and they said, this person, we were talking about it was last Sunday, it was Sister Michelle Street's sister, and we were discussing the kingdom of heaven. And after she began to understand what the kingdom of heaven was, I said, can you tell me sometime you've been in the kingdom of heaven when you really felt the presence of the Lord? She said, yes, when I held my baby. When I first held my baby in my arms, I felt Jesus. I'm not saying that baby was Jesus. I'm saying that it was Jesus that blessed her to have that baby. I'm saying it's Jesus is the one that gave her that child. I'm saying that she didn't just see that there was something that she and her husband had produced, but she saw that Jesus had blessed her with that. And did you know that everything we have, did you know you ought to be able to see Jesus at your work? Do you know why you had the job that you have? Do you know why you're blessed to be able to work? It's because Jesus has given you that. You ought to do everything you do at your job. Do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. And you'll stop murmuring and complaining about the work you do when you do it as unto the Lord. You ought to be able to see Jesus there. Have you seen Jesus at work? Some of you are saying, man, I've never seen Jesus at my job. You just don't know what my job's like. Let me tell you something. You can see Jesus even at work. Did you know that? Don't care how bad your job is. Don't care how difficult it is. You pray for strength and grace. you'll see Jesus even clearer than somebody that has an easy job. If God will give you the strength and grace to be happy, even in that bad condition, you'll know it was Jesus that blessed you on that job. Then were the disciples what? Then were the disciples glad. Well, what was it that made them glad? Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, I want you to understand this. We're not talking about seeing somebody like I'm looking at Brother Carnell. We're not talking about just seeing with these natural eyes. We're talking about seeing with spiritual eyes. And those are better than natural eyes. There have been a lot of people that were blind and could not see out of these eyes who could see Jesus very clearly. One of the best songwriters that we have ever had was Fanny Crosby. She was blind. She couldn't see the natural things. She couldn't see the grass and the trees and she couldn't see the flowers. She couldn't see the sun. She couldn't see the moon. She couldn't see any of the things that we rejoice in seeing, and we can see Jesus in all of that. But even though she was blind, she saw the Lord. And you know what kind of person she was? Oh, was she a sad person because she was blind? Did she go around moping because she couldn't see with these eyes? No, she went around rejoicing. She was glad because she saw the Lord. And every time that you're sad, you know why you're sad? It's because you don't see the Lord. And you know what you need to do whenever you don't see the Lord? You know, the Bible tells us in John chapter, back up just a few pages. I want you to back up to John chapter 12. Look at John chapter 12. The Word of God tells us about some Greeks that came to Jesus, they came to Philip. And when they came to Philip, they came to Philip because they were sad men. And they knew what would make them glad. What would make you glad? You know, if I just said, we're going to start off this morning, we're going to pass out a questionnaire, you just write down what will make you happy. And if it hadn't been church, let's say it's Monday morning and your boss says, write down what will make you happy. What will make you glad? What do you think? What kind of things would we write down probably? Just get yourself away from church in your mind and just think, what will make you happy? Anything you want that will make you glad. What will make you happy? And it's amazing the kind of list that we'd come up with that would make us happy. But you know what will really make you glad? Instead of all those other things, you know what will really make you glad? Is when you can see Jesus. And you can see Jesus. Is this the valley? I saw Jesus. And I see Jesus. I don't think there's a person here. Listen, every one of you. I don't think there's a person here that I haven't seen Jesus in your life. Isn't that a blessing? To be able to see Jesus? You know why we rejoice when we see each other? It's because we see each other, but it's because we see beyond that flesh. It's not just the flesh. We see Jesus inside of the people. That's what makes you pretty, Brother Richard. You're pretty to me. You may not be pretty to everybody, but you're pretty to me. And that's not some natural, you understand what I'm saying. He's pretty because he's a child of God that loves the Lord. And that makes him pretty. And it makes me glad to see him. And that's what I can say about every one of you. I'm glad to see you. We say that sometimes. I'm glad to see you. Well, why were these disciples glad? They were glad when they saw the Lord. What will make me glad? It's not just in seeing you, but when I see Christ in you. That's what makes me glad. I'm talking about real joy comes not just from seeing people, but from seeing Christ in those people. And you can make people glad when you start walking more like Christ and living more like Christ and acting more like Christ. Can you bring joy? Can you bring happiness to other people just by you letting your light shine? Yes, you can. You can make people glad. People can be glad to see you because they'll see Jesus. They won't just see you. They won't just see your natural condition. They'll see beyond that and they'll see Christ in you. And that's what makes people glad. The only thing that will really make children of God glad. Now listen, children of the devil, they don't get any joy out of seeing Jesus, okay? But children of God get joy out of seeing Jesus. Makes them glad. In John chapter 12, there were some Greeks, and these were not dead alien sinners. These were children of God, born of the Spirit of God, but they hadn't seen something. You know what they hadn't seen? They hadn't seen Jesus. There's a lot of children of God today that hadn't seen Jesus. that some of you probably haven't seen Jesus in such a long time, you don't even remember what He looks like or what He acts like. Listen, when you start doing what's right and living right, you know who you're going to begin to see? You're going to begin to see Jesus again. And when you start doing what right and living right and acting right and drawing close to Jesus, you're going to be glad because you saw Jesus again. In John chapter 12, listen to verses 20 and 21. The Word of God says in John 12, verse 20, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." Now, I'll tell you, that's what every one of us ought to be crying out. When I wake up in the morning, do you know what I ought to seek the first thing I get up? The very first thing, when I wake up, before I even open my eyes, I ought to think, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Because when I wake up, if I can see Jesus, whether my eyes are open or my eyes are closed, if I can just see Jesus, I'll be happy. I'll be glad. I'll rejoice every time I see Jesus. The happiest people on this earth are people who have a good fellowship with Jesus Christ. Every day. You know that songwriter says, "And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own." Oh, don't you know that was a happy fellow? Have the privilege to walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus and for Jesus to say, "You're mine. You belong to me. You're my child. I died for you. I saved you from your sins." What a friend. That's another good song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to Him in prayer. I'll tell you, have you ever seen Jesus as the one that will carry your burdens for you? Have you ever taken your burdens to the Lord and left them there? Have you ever taken your burdens to the Lord and left with those burdens? I heard about a church sometime this past week that I believe they set up three crosses in the church, and the center cross was to represent the cross on which Jesus Christ died. And the preacher asked everybody there to write down whatever burdens you have. Write down whatever sins are plaguing your heart, mind, and soul. Write them down. Put them on a piece of paper. And then they had some nails up there. That whatever's burdening you, whatever's causing you to be sorrowful, whatever's causing you to be sad, you write it down on a piece of paper, you come up here and you nail it to this cross. Leave it there. Can you do that? Is it hard to do that? It's hard to do that. But by the grace of God, can we go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I don't want to bear these burdens alone. I can't bear them alone. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Brethren, you take your burdens to Jesus and leave them there, and you'll be G-L-A-D, glad. Then were the disciples glad when they saw Jesus. What did these Greeks say to Philip? They said, "Sir, we would see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Are you looking for Jesus?" I tell you, if you don't see Jesus, you ought to be looking for Jesus. You say, "Oh, that's not true theology." I'm telling you, the only people that can look for Jesus, Jesus said, God's Word says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found." I'm not talking to dead alien sinners telling them to seek the Lord. I'm talking to God's people and telling the children of God, you need to seek the Lord. You need to see the Lord. And you won't see the Lord unless you seek the Lord. God promised, "Seek the Lord with all your heart, and I'll reveal myself unto you." I'll tell you, it's a great blessing to seek the Lord, to have the privilege. It's a good blessing to know you need to see the Lord, isn't it? And if you know you need to see the Lord and you can't find the Lord, you keep seeking the Lord. Because Jesus said, "Seek, seek, seek." He said, "Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." We need to seek the Lord. Why? Because I need to see Jesus. Why do I need to see Jesus? Because then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Did Job see the Lord in the Old Testament? Job, way back in the Old Testament. Did Abraham see the Lord back there in the Old Testament? You remember, we mentioned it this morning, John 8. Let's just back up three pages. John 8, verse 56. Let's talk about Abraham. Well, now, Abraham didn't see Jesus because Jesus wasn't born for 1,500 years after. Oh, no, that's not true. See, Abraham saw Jesus. Well, when did Jesus have His beginning? I'll tell you, Jesus, the Son of God, is just as eternal as the Father is eternal. You go all the way back. Listen, you want to get good eyesight. You go all the way back there and look back 6,000 years ago, and you can see Jesus. Have you ever seen Jesus creating the earth? Have you ever seen that? Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. To be able to go back through the eye of faith and look back 6,000 years ago and see this earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You know who that was? That was Jesus, the Word of God that spoke this world into existence. It was Jesus that said, "Let there be light, and let there be the sun and the moon and the stars." It was Jesus. God said, "Let us make man in our image." Do you see Jesus right there working 6,000 years ago in the creation of the world? Have you ever seen Jesus there? Makes me glad. I'll tell you, these people get happy about evolution. They're seeking ahead. You want to get glad, you pray that God will help you to see Jesus as the Creator. It'll make you glad. I'm glad. I'm glad to know God took some dirt and He formed a man and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. I'm glad to know that. I'm glad I can see that. I feel sorry for somebody that can't see that. I'm glad I can see Jesus as the Creator. I'm glad I can see Jesus as Jesus. Do you know who the head of the church is here? You know who the head of this church is? Jesus Christ. That's right. Can you see Jesus as the head of the church? That's the head of the church. Everybody else here, all the rest of us, we're members of the body. Jesus is the head. This is the church. The Bible says the church is the body of Jesus Christ. We're members of the body. Do you see Jesus as the head of the church? You know what it makes me feel when I know that Jesus and see Jesus as the head of the church? It makes me glad. You know why it makes me glad? Because Jesus has said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Did you know if it was left up to me or you, the devil could destroy this church in 24 hours. The devil could destroy this church in the next hour if it was left up to me or you. But my hope, my confidence, my joy is Jesus is the head of this church. And I see Jesus as the head, and I see Him as the builder, and I see Him as the protector, and I see Him as the one that has the candlestick here. And we need to thank God that we can see Jesus here. Thank God that we can see Jesus. What's the most wonderful way to see Jesus? Well, we might could argue about that, but I'm going to have to say one of the most wonderful ways to see Jesus. It's what John the Baptist said when Jesus began to come. And John the Baptist was preaching. And he had a lot of people around him. He had a lot of disciples. And when Jesus came up, John the Baptist said, "Behold." You know what "behold" means? It means look. Pay careful attention. Look, behold. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You think there were some glad people that day when they saw the Lamb of God? Behold the Lamb of God. Have you ever seen the Lamb of God? Have you ever seen Jesus? The Lamb of God that took away your sins. That's what Brother Wendell Minnix prayed a while ago whenever I called on him for prayer. He said, "Thank you, Jesus, for taking away my sins." That's the only hope I have of eternal heaven, is that my Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Have you ever seen Jesus in the creation? Have you ever seen Jesus back there with Abraham when he was fixing to offer up his son? Have you ever seen Jesus at Calvary? Have you ever been to the cross and seen Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary? Have you ever seen Him there? You might say, "Well, that makes me sad." Well, it makes me sad, but I'll tell you, it makes me glad too. It makes me sad that He had to suffer like He suffered for my sins and yours. But it makes me glad He was willing to suffer. It makes me glad that He loved me so much. It makes me glad that the Father loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son to save me from my sins. It makes me glad that Jesus loved me so much that He was willing to come and die on the cross of Calvary. And I'm glad I can see Jesus. I'm glad I can behold the Lamb of God as the Creator. I'm glad I can behold the Lamb of God as the Savior. I'm glad I can behold Jesus as the head of the church. I'm glad I can behold... How long is the list? The list is endless. Oh, if you had never seen Jesus, you've missed a lot of pretty pictures, because the Bible displays a lot of beautiful pictures of Jesus. Isaiah 53, you remember how the eunuch was sitting there in the chariot, been up to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way back home, and as the eunuch was on his way back home, God sent Philip to him, and the eunuch was sitting there in the chariot, and he's reading from Isaiah 53. And Philip asked the eunuch, "Understandest what thou readest?" "How can I, except some man guide me?" And you know what the Bible says that Philip did? He began to, at the same scripture, to preach unto him Jesus. And you go back and read Isaiah 53, you will not find J-E-S-U-S back there. But you go back and look at Isaiah 53, and you know who you will see? If you read Isaiah 53, you'll see Jesus. And that eunuch was glad when he saw Jesus. And you know what he did? He said, "See, here's water. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And Philip baptized the eunuch. And he came up out of the water rejoicing. And he went on his way glad. You know why he was so glad? It's because he had seen something he had never seen before. He had seen Jesus clearer than he had ever seen before. Every day, I pray that all of us will pray, "God, help me to see Jesus today. Help me to see Him in every way that I can, because then I know I'll be glad, even in this world." And I didn't even get to seeing Him up there, did I? Well, I can't tell you how good it's going to be up there. But it's going to be wonderful, because up there we're going to see Him face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Will I fall down before Him? Will I stand and praise Him? Will I shout praises, or will I just be quiet because I can't even speak? How are you going to describe what heaven's going to be like when you really see Jesus? Because right now, we just see through a glass darkly, but one day we're going to see Him face to face. And you know what you're going to be when you see Him face to face? The four-letter word. What are you going to be when you see Jesus up there? You're going to be glad. Then were the disciples glad. I'm glad I'll see Him up there, but I'm glad I can see Him down here. May God help us all look for Him every day, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.